I'm going to read Psalm 23. I think it's probably read every year at this service. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who till the soil, for those who raise livestock, of which there are a good number around here. And Lord, we thank you for our food. We thank you for its variety. We thank you for its flavours. We thank you that you've provided it. But Lord, we lift up to you now those men and women who grow it and rear it. Lord, many of them are lonely. Many of them get up early and go to bed late. Some of them might not see another human from day to day. Lord, we pray for them in particular right now, that they might find the great shepherd of the sheep. That they might know the Lord, not just that he created this world, but Lord, that he looks after it and looks after all who come to him. Lord, 200 years ago, you moved in the farms and the cottages of this area to such an extent that people banded together to build this chapel. And we thank you for them and we thank you for it. But Lord, we pray that you would move again. And that people who are living without hope will find you. And people who are afraid to die may find you. And people who are too busy for this or too busy for that, Lord, that they too might find you. Heavenly Father, we pray for this corner of Lancashire and also for the other places which are represented here tonight. Lord, we're living in a land in which churches are closing down. But Lord, we pray they might reopen. And not just to preach platitudes, but to preach the old-fashioned gospel of sins forgiven and hope restored. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you a few questions in a moment. To do with the pictures I think you're about to see. Or I won't. Just while we are waiting and deciding. People think that this is a really remote place over here. But last August I went over to one of their farms for a tour and a bit of lunch. And it made Martin Top, I feel, be like a cosmopolitan city. So if ever you drive from Clitheroe over to Lancaster and you go over the Trough Road, you go through Ayrton country. So there you go. Right. If it's not going to be ready in a few minutes, we'll give up on a bad job. Sorry? It's counting down. This might be the most exciting part of the evening, folks. Make the most of it. There you go. Right, okay. So, I'm going to show you a series of pictures. There is a question for each one. There is an answer. What I don't want you to do is to shout out. Now, let me tell you, I used to be a teacher, so I was very good at sending people out of the room. Coupled with that, I'm a pastor, and traditionally, pastors are very good at driving people out of churches. So, you take those two characteristics, and I make a mean opponent. So, I'm going to show you a picture, without saying anything, in your head, okay? See if you can come up with the answer, and the answer will follow. And if you get it right, you can put your hand up. If you are modest, you will refrain. If you are taking glory you don't deserve, you'll put it up anyway. So here is a picture. There is a character in the Bible who is likened or called a fox. And it is actually, it doesn't tell you on there, but it's actually King Herod. Who got that right? King Herod is a fox. Okay. Clearly they don't get a lot of good Bible teaching here, do they? Who's responsible? Oh. Rather plump cattle there, I must say. Again, have a think. The women of Bashan were likened to being very well-fed cattle. Who got that one right? Okay, good. Good. Do we even have the Bible in it? Yeah. An eagle. Again, think carefully. Oop, wrong one. There you go. Yeah, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. You might not feel very strong. You might not feel very eagle-like. But if you wait upon the Lord, that's what the scripture says you're like. Who thinks they got that one right, by the way? Okay, we're getting there. Again, a fairly common sight round here. We're not very good at growing crops, but we're quite good at growing these. Have a think, who is likened to that particular creature? All of us. Who thinks they got that one? Yeah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. Now, there are a few answers to this one, admittedly, but it's clearly the one that I've thought of, which is the correct one. Yeah, the Holy Spirit likened to a dove. Who's okay? Three of you, great. A heifer. The Israelites. You know, when you're stubborn with God, you become heifer-like. Again, there are two answers to this one. It's the bad one. It is the devil. Who thinks they got that one right? Okay, very good. I'd like to say I took that picture myself. I did not. I stole it from the worldwide internet. And the answer, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. It's actually us. Who thinks they got that one like? Do you feel like, yes, okay, absolutely. Now that's a picture I took myself. It's over in Cowling, in West Yorkshire. And I was going around a graveyard looking at the graves, which is something I like doing. And there he was. I could have picked him up and, you know, very innocent, sunbathing. And of course, Jesus Christ. Who got that one right? Yeah, a few more. Well, let me leave that picture up, because I'd like to read a strange passage from the book of Revelation. And for those of you who don't know, the book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible, and there are lots of different interpretations of it and all the rest of it. But in Revelation chapter 5, we have the Apostle John given a glimpse of things going on in heaven. and he wrote down what he saw. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Now, we believe that those titles there, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David, are titles of Jesus Christ. What do they mean? Well, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is not just the devil who's likened to a lion, but actually Jesus Christ himself, the mighty one, the one who rules, the one who must not be messed with, he who is powerful and mighty. He's also called the Root of David. That's a strange title. David was the great warrior king of ancient Israel. And the Root of David, the one who came before David, the one who created David, is he. So he's the mighty Lion of heaven, but also the one who created mighty David. In verse 6, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb." It sounds a little bit out of place. So here is a scene in heaven. And earlier we've had these incredible sounding angels. And the Lord has been likened to a lion and to the origin of a warrior king. And yet here he's called a lamb. That lamb might look cute. It might even look a little bit pathetic. How could Jesus Christ, whom the Bible describes as being God the Son, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David, why now is he described as a lamb? But it gets worse. "Stood a lamb as though it had been slain." Here is this figure in the very center of heaven, the center of attention, and he's a lamb who has been killed. That lamb looked rather weak and vulnerable. But at least it's alive, or it was when I took the picture. How can the center of heaven be likened to a lamb who had been killed? Yet the description goes on. "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" And then later on, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The Bible is clear. Jesus Christ, a person of the triune God, whom Paul says in the book of Colossians is the creator. You were made by him and you were made for him. His are the words of eternal life. Omnipotent, powerful, majestic, glorious. And yet the book of Revelation says
He was like a lamb.
He came to earth and John the Baptist beheld him and said, behold the Lamb of God. Why do they keep calling him a lamb? A lion, I understand. But a lamb?
Hundreds of years before, there was a tent called the Tabernacle.
And then after that, they built a temple. But part of the worship in that tabernacle and in that temple involved the killing of animals for sacrifice. And a number of animals died that way. But the lamb in particular was killed for our sin. And we Christians believe, because the Bible teaches it, that though we were born out of a good relationship with God, we were born at war with him. Because of our sin, we were born into a massive pile of debt which we could not repay. The mighty God himself became a sacrificial victim. That's why he's called the Lamb. To Jewish writers and Jewish readers, they would have understood that that lamb was a feature of the temple or the tabernacle, and it generally died because of human sin. It was a picture of sacrifice. And what an amazing feature of the gospel. That God himself provided a way for you and me to be right with him. One day, everybody in the world will meet him. In that song, in verses 9 and 10, it says, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, in other words, absolutely every group, every ethnic group, every language group, every people group, every national group, God is forgiving their sin because of Jesus Christ. But even those who don't get forgiven, they will stand before him. They will meet him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the judge of the living and the dead. But the message of the Bible is that you can meet the ferocious lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, you can meet him as that gentle lamb. I've been preaching for a long time. Not as long as some of you, but a long time. I've been a Christian for a long time. Not as long as some of you, but a long time. And I am still astounded, amazed that God would love me and you so much that he would send his only son, not just to come as a raging, roaring lion, but as a lamb. Part of his trial, the Lord Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest, and a whole crowd of people. He was the mightiest, most powerful, most authoritative being in the cosmos, and yet he opened not his mouth. He willingly submitted to their insults and their accusations, that he might go all the way to the cross. I read before, and we had beautifully sung to us, the Lord is my shepherd. And if you need somebody, and you do, to take care of you, to guide you, to provide for you, and to keep you safe, you'll find Jesus Christ will be the shepherd of your soul. And yet, at the same time, he became the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, a victim, a substitute, to pay for our sin. He is both our lamb payment and our shepherd guardian. Great is the gospel. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. If you want to know more about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, if you want to know more about the Good Shepherd who will guard your soul, then speak to me or somebody else before you leave. He also said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. People will reject you. People will be unfair. People will get bored of you. But he never shall.